Chapter 14. I glanced behind me to see that Fila had unsheathed her claws and had her fangs bared. Her tail swished behind her, and her ears were pressed into her auburn waves. A low growl bubbled up from her chest, and she narrowed her yellow-green eyes at the man. Emma had already lifted her pale hands. The black strands of hair that had escaped from her tidy bun had begun to float around her face, and her sky-blue eyes glowed with her powers. I turned back to the man in the trench coat to study him. He had a ridiculously big hat on his head, and a black scarf was tied around the bottom half of his face, but the green eyes that stared out at me were familiar enough to give me pause.
"Should I kill him, Dave Meyer?"
Fila asked from behind me. "No," I said. "After all, we can't kill the great and powerful Solomon Meyer."
"Saul?"
the saber-toothed woman questioned. I nodded my head and heard the sound of her feet against the asphalt as she came to stand beside me. The catwoman gave the air a sniff, and she frowned at the man when she realized that I was right.
"And who the hell are you guys?"
the paranoid man asked as he narrowed his eyes. "My name is Dave, this is Fila, and that's Emma," I said, while I pointed at my two girlfriends. "What are you doing here? I thought there was some emergency. That's why you canceled your book signing, isn't it?"
"Damn book signing,"
this world's version of my father cursed.
"How the fuck did you know who I was?"
He reached up and tugged down the black scarf that had covered the bottom half of his face. His jawline was covered in a short, scraggly beard that was more gray than it was black, and his lips were turned down into a deep frown like the one I'd seen on Mysol's face thousands of times. He pushed back the hat a little to get a better look at us, and I noted the heavy bags under his eyes. The man that stood in front of me looked nothing like the shining face that had looked down from the dirigible. That picture must have been taken years before, because the haggard Saul that stared at me looked like he hadn't gotten a good night's sleep in months. The rough man didn't have a shotgun pointed at us, but he still gave off the same paranoid and trigger-happy energy that my Saul had when he was deep in the woods in his home. "You never had any intention of going to the book signing then," I said. "I should have known. But considering you're a cult leader, I thought that anything was possible."
"I'm not responsible for those sycophants,"
Saul growled.
"Well, you did save their lives,"
Emma said as she came to stand on my other side. The Victorian woman released the energy she'd built into the black asphalt, and the concrete crackled as it absorbed the lightning. The blue sparks lit the bright smile that donned her rosebud lips, and she nervously shoved a stray strand of hair behind her ear.
"I just made the dimensional entrance patent observed. They did the rest,"
the paranoid man grumbled.
"No need to fucking make me into some damn saint. If it wasn't for their damn temple and hero worship, then I wouldn't have to be hiding from the pedophile lizard people."
"So the government is after you?" I asked. "The government never changed, no matter what dimension we were in. The men in black had chased me from my world after they'd killed my father, and I could easily believe that they'd go after this version if he had come up with something that would make them obsolete, or if he took away their power over people."
"Of course they are,"
Saul huffed.
"Those assholes are always trying to suppress the people that can make a change. Now, who the hell are you people? How do you know who I am? And why do you have my DNA?
"Your DNA," I repeated, as I tried to think of how I would answer that question.
"Yeah, dipshit," the grizzled man huffed. "You, who the fuck are you?"
Someone came out of the elevator onto our floor, and the paranoid man cursed under his breath while he pulled his hat low and tried to hide his face. He hid the device in one of the larger pockets of his trench coat, and he didn't say anything until the businessman who walked by had gotten into his car and driven away. "How do you know that I have your DNA?" I asked when we were alone again.
"Because of this,"
the paranoid genius said as he showed me the scanner. I leaned in closer to peer down at the tricorder-looking device. It had a black glass over the front of its square body, and a few buttons on the top that weren't labeled. A bright green light shone out from the front, but there wasn't a power switch or button that I could immediately recognize. "What is that?" I asked, when I'd finished my inspection.
"It's a DNA scanner / JAMA," the trench coat-wearing man snapped. "The damn thing keeps leading me to you."
"How long have you been following Dave Meyer?"
Fila asked. The saber-toothed woman sheathed her claws and stopped growling, but her body was still tense, like she might spring into action with one wrong move. The man in front of her wasn't the Saul that she knew, and that meant that he could be a danger to the tribe.
Maya?
Saul asked as he looked at me. Just answer the lady's question, I snorted.
Since yesterday, Saul said. I turned this thing on, and it registered you. I followed it down to Little Detroit and saw you walking around with this broad, talking to all of those crazy sycophants and trying to gather information on me.
Why would you be looking for Dave?
Emma asked as she tilted her head.
I wasn't.
The green-eyed man ran a hand through his hair in a familiar gesture.
It's a prototype. It's supposed to pick up any trace of my DNA and jam it so that those satanic lizard fucks can't find me. But it just keeps pointing to this asshole. It says we share DNA, but I know for a fact that's bullshit.
And you didn't think that maybe your device was broken?
The Victorian woman asked with a small smile.
I thought about that, the older man huffed. But this little shit looks like me. And I wouldn't put it past the government to pull some cloning bullshit like that. They spout about how ignoble it is. But they'd clone me in a heartbeat if they thought that he'd be half as smart as me.
They probably would. I stuffed my hands into my pockets and leaned against the back of the jamboree. I was right about this Saul and his paranoia, though since he had a cult, it wasn't too hard to understand why. A million questions ran through my head about everything from the lawsuits to the government. But we were still out in the open, and he wasn't going to stay there long.
I'll ask you again, who the hell are you?
Saul said as he narrowed his eyes.
And why the fuck does this thing say you have half of my DNA?
That's complicated, I said as I ran a hand through my hair.
I'll try to keep up,
the trench coat-wearing man sneered. I glanced over at my girls. Fila's tail swished behind her, and her lip was curled up over her fangs in warning. Emma had released her lightning, but the Gibson girl look-alike had her shoulders back and her head held high as she watched the man in front of us for any signs that he would attack. I'm your son, I said. Well, sort of. I'm from another dimension.
You expect me to believe that bullshit?
Saul snapped as he narrowed his eyes and lifted the scanner.
I bet you're just some government stooge that they covered in my DNA.
And you think they managed to find someone who looks like you? I snickered.
Those jackasses would do anything to keep me in line,
the grizzled man said. I knew that this Saul would be paranoid, but a clone was a bit of a stretch. The conversation wouldn't go anywhere if I couldn't convince him that I was who I said I was, and that meant that I needed to bring up Doris. She was my biological mother and what another Saul had called a constant, someone who he'd know no matter what dimension I was in. All right, I said with a sigh. Well, if I was a clone, then I wouldn't have only half of your DNA.
True,
the paranoid genius muttered. He glanced around like he expected a black SUV to come out of the shadows of the garage, but we were alone on our level. A button on the scanner beeped as the green-eyed man ran the diagnostics on me again, and he cursed under his breath when it was finished. He'd clearly gotten the same results, but it didn't seem like the stubborn genius wanted to believe the readings. How about this? I said. Do you think that there are any people like them in your dimension? I motioned to Emma and Fila as I spoke. He wouldn't have missed how Fila's tail and ears moved naturally, and they were too lifelike to be robotic attachments. I also knew that he had seen Emma's lightning, so the paranoid trillionaire would have to realize that they weren't average women.
Who knows what the hell they're making in those secret lizard labs,
Saul said.
They can track my DNA. I wouldn't doubt that they'd splice some animals together.
A saber tooth? I asked as I rolled my eyes. Where would they even get the DNA for that?
How the chicken fried fuck would I know?
This realm's version of my father growled.
If you're really my son, then you would know that you can never trust a man in a suit.
Says the trillionaire, I returned.
That wasn't my idea,
the trench coat wearing man said.
I put the patent in, and then my damn financial advisor fucking created a company and started to charge for those doors. I wanted to give them away for free. But like Nikola Tesla, my inventions were used to make a profit.
Nikola Tesla was a mad scientist,
Emma said from my right.
He completely destroyed my world.
What the hell are you talking about? The grizzled man asked.
He set off one of his inventions and it went wrong,
the blue-eyed woman said.
It killed almost everyone, including the animals, and those who survived had lightning powers.
And all of the machines became superpowered, I added. They never turned off. Fila and I ran into one of the self-propelled lawnmowers and almost got turned into mulch.
I did not like that creature,
Fila said.
Or that world. Though, I am glad that we found Emma there.
You expect me to believe that? Saul asked.
I can give you a demonstration if you'd like,
Emma said as she lifted her hands into the air. Her Westinghouse powers licked her fingers and lit up her sky-blue eyes. The lightning arced between the loose strands of her hair, and the air around us crackled with energy.
Impressive, the paranoid genius said. But that could be some machine that only looks like you got supernatural powers.
I rolled my eyes at the stubborn old man and sighed. How about a recording of your own voice? I asked.
That could be just as fabricated as the young woman's abilities, Saul said with a shrug. But let's hear this so-called recording.
I frowned but lifted the watch that my Saul had left behind for me. The menu was easy enough to navigate, so it didn't take long for me to find the message that my Saul had left for me. And soon the familiar sound of my father's voice filled the air.
Dave, you really fucked up, kiddo,
the recording started. I braced myself for the rest of the message. The first time that I'd heard it, I hadn't known that Saul was my father, and it was difficult to hear it again, especially with another version of him right in front of me. I wished that Saul had been my dad as I grew up rather than my crazy uncle. But I'd still been able to spend a lot of time with him, so that was at least something.
If you're listening to this, then I'm dead. And I probably told you to blow up my shit, but you probably got curious and fucked with my machine. And now I bet you're somewhere crazy and a dinosaur or a giant mammal or some other fucked up shit just tried to attack you,
my Saul said.
But hey, you found the Glock and fucking killed it. And they're probably trying to figure out what to do next. I'm gonna help you.
The man in front of me shifted from foot to foot as he listened. His lips were pursed together, but he'd lowered the DNA jammer. The device disappeared into one of the large pockets of his trench coat, and he rolled his shoulders like he was trying to relax.
The machine under the hood of this car is something I designed to move me around in multidimensional time,
the message continued.
I'm calling it my Dimension Engine, patent pending, because it's in the engine compartment at a Lincoln, and it goes to different dimensions. I know, I'm super clever. The patent-pending part is important. You have to say that shit along with the name so you can both annoy the fuck out of people and let them know you're gonna sick your lawyers on them if they try to take your shit. However, I also hate the government, so of course I didn't pay their stupid filing fees. They can suck it, bitches. Anyways, you remember my theory on time and space axes? Plural of axes. Not something that you cut wood with. I'll spare you the math. I know you're not gonna fucking get it.
Well, that seems a bit rude,
Emma muttered.
You're very intelligent.
Yeah, but Saul was always light years ahead of me, I responded with a shrug. He wasn't wrong. I could never understand him when he went on his tirades.
You can turn that off, the man in front of me said. I heard enough. It's definitely my voice. But you really expect me to believe that some other version of me made an interdimensional traveling device?
How else would I be here? I asked.
Beats the shit out of me, the trench coat man grumbled. Though I really shouldn't have paid the patents for the depot. Those jackasses wouldn't be able to sue me for running the real estate market if I hadn't. And the government wouldn't be riding my ass like a hemorrhoid.
That's what my Saul thought, I said. I don't know if he'd ever have patented the dep since they killed him before he could. They would have killed me if I hadn't accidentally activated it.
This could still be bullshit, Saul said as he ran a hand through his hair. Not that the government is smart enough to come up with something like that. They're too busy trying to drink baby blood.
The last Saul we met told me to mention universal constants, I said. He said that some things wouldn't change.
Like what?
The green-eyed man asked. Like you being a paranoid jackass, I responded. Who would rather shoot first and ask questions second?
I haven't tried to kill you yet,
the man in front of me said. Yet, I said. He said one of those constants would be my mother, Doris.
Doris,
Saul whispered. He said the name like a prayer and swiped at a tear before it could roll down his cheek. Sadness crossed his features before he took a deep breath and settled on glaring at me instead. He said there would always be a Doris, I explained. In my world, she died giving birth to me. Saul couldn't handle raising me on his own, so he gave me to the woman that I knew as my mother, his sister, and then stayed in my life as my uncle.
We had a kid?
The trench coat wearing man asked in a strained voice. He did, I confirmed. He was a good uncle, though I admit I wish I had known him as my father.
I'm sorry, kid, the Saul in front of me said. I don't think I could have raised a child without her either.
What happened to your Doris?
Emma asked.
She died,
the sad older man said as he ran a hand through his hair.
She and I were working on a secret project, and some went wrong. At least that's what they tell me. I think those spook lizard bastards killed her, and now they're after me.
But why? I asked. Because you made some pocket dimensions?
Because they think that I've come up with a teleportation device, Saul answered. They want to use it and my doors to revolutionize war. But I'm not going to help those assholes kill more people.
Of course not,
the Victorian woman said.
The Saul that we met would never support such an act. He opposed the government and all of the big companies that had overrun his world. He told me much about the people that tried to control him,
Fila said.
Another universal constant, the grizzled man said. No matter what dimension I'm in, the government is controlled by a bunch of assholes in business suits.
That does seem to be normal, I said. Though Fila and Emma's worlds didn't have that kind of structure.
Only because Tesla's invention went wrong,
Emma said.
Before that, it seems like it was very much the same. Individual tribes took care of themselves,
Fila said.
There was nothing like what we've seen in the last few worlds.
What kind of place did you come from?
Saul asked as he looked at the saber-toothed woman. Fila's world evolved differently than we did, I explained. I don't think it ever went through the Ice Age, so the animals evolved to be human hybrids.
Interesting, the trench-coat-wearing man said.
The elevator opened and a bunch of men in suits exited. They didn't pay any attention to us as they talked animatedly about some deal that they had negotiated. It sounded like they'd already had a few drinks to celebrate, and one of them stumbled as he walked by. We probably shouldn't be hanging out here if the government really is after you, I said. We can go back to our base. You can meet a Krasis and feel his miniature woolly mammoth.
Woolly mammoth?
Saul said, as his eyebrows shot up.
The other version of you liked him, too,
Fila said with a smirk.
He rode Floppy around with great enthusiasm.
I may have to do that, the grizzled man said. But for now, let's go back to my penthouse. I would rather continue our conversation somewhere that I know hasn't been bugged.
Okay, I said. Though I would like to make sure that a Krasis knows that we're all right.
Oh, she knows,
Emma said with a smile. She reached into the pocket of her skirt and pulled out a small piece of the oil-slick-colored slime that was a part of Raz.
She has been with us the entire time?
Fila asked.
Well, she wanted to make sure that we had enough of her to help us out if we ran into any trouble,
the Victorian woman said.
That slime is this a Krasis that you mentioned?
The weary man asked. Yes, I said. She is an alien from another dimension. Her planet was destroyed, so she came to that world's Earth and then devoured everything. She decided to join us and usually looks like a woman, but she can split part of herself off since she's kind of an amoeba-like creature.
I want to meet her, too, Saul said. But since she knows you're okay, let's go back to my penthouse.
Sure, I said with a shrug. Do you have a car around here?
No,
the trench coat-wearing man said as he shook his head.
We could take your ride.
All right, I said. Well, then you take the front passenger seat so you can tell us where to go. I climbed into the jamboree and waited for everyone else to join me before I pulled on my seatbelt. The cops would use any excuse to pull someone over, and the less attention we drew to ourselves, the better. I also slipped the namshubs on my face so that I wouldn't have to figure out which streets to take.
You won't be able to miss my building, the grizzled man said. It's the tallest one in the city.
Of course it is, I said with a roll of my eyes.
Don't look at me, Sol huffed. It wasn't my idea.
I glanced over at him and then chuckled as I pulled out of the parking garage. The spear-shaped building in question towered over every other skyscraper. I pointed the jamboree in its direction while Abby pulled up directions on how to navigate the busy streets. The steel gates around the building stood tall as I inched forward, and I glanced over to Sol to see what he wanted me to do. He pulled a small device out of his pocket, pressed a button, and then watched as the gates swung inward. Nice, I said. Who has access to this place?
Just me, the paranoid genius said. Ever since Doris died, it's been just me. I don't like most people. They smell and don't get my jokes.
This is a very large place for just one person,
Emma said from the back seat.
It is, the grizzled man said. But it won't be my problem for long.
What do you mean? I asked as I parked the car in the spot with Saul's name.
I'm gonna fake my death, kid,
the man to my right said with a shrug.
It's the only way that I can make sure those assholes don't lock me away and turn me into some kind of puppet.
Of course you are, I laughed and turned off the Jeep.
Would they really do something like that?
Emma asked as she followed us to an elevator.
Damn right they would, the trench coat-wearing trillionaire said. They've been after me forever. That's why I came up with the DNA jammer.
What will you do?
Fila asked.
Will you come with us?
No,
Sol said with a shake of his head.
I have a plan in place already. I followed you guys to make sure that I didn't need to speed up the process. Though now I have another idea that I want to run by you, but that can wait until after dinner.
Would you like me to cook you something?
The Gibson girl lookalike asked as the elevator took us up to the 40th floor.
No, Sol said. I have some leftovers that I can warm up. Should be enough for all of us.
The silver doors opened into a massive penthouse that spanned the entire top floor of the skyscraper. Pure white pillars held up the ceiling, and white marble with gray swirls covered the floors. There was a dark gray sectional that faced a large flat-screen TV, and a pristine white kitchen took up the left corner of the apartment. Two open doors led to a bedroom and an impressive bathroom, and three long tables covered in inventions were set up to the right side of the penthouse.
This is beautiful,
Emma whispered as she looked around.
Thanks, the owner said as he pulled off his hat, trench coat, and scarf. Doris decorated it. She'd kill me if she saw the mess that my workspace is in.
Well, I could help to organize it,
the Victorian woman said.
I'm very good at keeping things in order.
Yeah, there's no need.
The paranoid genius pulled out a casserole and turned on his oven.
I'm going to destroy it all before I go.
That seems like a waste, I said.
I have it all in digital copies, Sol said. It's encrypted, so no one will be able to steal my ideas.
Of course it is, I chuckled.
Tell me more about this dimensional engine patent pending,
our host said, as he put the casserole into the oven. It takes us from world to world, I said. We have to be there at least 48 hours for it to recharge, but can stay for up to 3 days. Can't stay longer than that, or some Cthulhu-like monsters are supposed to find us. My Sol said that they had some kind of DNA tracker like your jammer.
Cthulhu, huh?
This dimension's version of my father said with a grin.
I wouldn't mind seeing one of those. So why are they after your Sol?
Something about tracking him across worlds or some such bullshit, I responded. I haven't stayed anywhere long enough to run into any of them yet.
Might be a good idea to stay ahead of them, the grizzled man said. So you can pick what world you're going to?
No, I said. I'm supposed to find you in every world to see if you can help us. Right now, my biggest concern is that our base is getting too big. It gets 6 meters larger every time we make a jump, and if we keep this up, we'll be as big as Detroit in no time.
That could be problematic, the dark-haired man said. I might be able to help you, and I have a proposition that might be mutually beneficial.
The oven beeped, and the trillionaire turned around to pull the casserole out of the oven. It smelled like cheese, onions, and chicken, and my mouth watered as the scents washed over me. What do you have in mind? I asked.
I want you to kill me, Sol said with a grin.